Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Wesley Mission Victoria and broadcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. This is a special Baby Boomers edition. Welcome to Listen to Older Voices. I'm Rob Greaves, and this is the final program featuring the life and times of baby boomer Lynn Thorpe. Throughout all three programs, Lynn has been upfront, direct, and talked openly on her life, pre, during, and past her time with the love of her life, Billy Thorpe. The wider Australian community knew Billy as a hard-playing, hard-singing, sometimes hard-drinking, often outrageous rock star. Yet through Lynn, we learned that Billy was very much a devoted husband, a daddy to his kids, and a man whose music talents far exceeded rock and roll. In this final program, Lynn continues the remarkable stories of her time with Billy and her family in Morocco, and of the development of his musical opus, his final album, The Fabulous Tangiers, which was completed after his death from a heart attack. Lynn also shares a little of the pain that she felt, and indeed still feels after Billy's death some 10 years ago in 2007. Lynn is a resilient woman who's found a new life with another man, and while the power and intensity of those years with Billy have had a powerful effect, she is now quite at peace with herself and her new life with Mick. We pick up with Lynn talking about her birthday party in Morocco.
Oh, I forgot to tell you that they'd sent over clothing for me to wear that night. The consul had sent this gorgeous gold...
Moroccan.
Yeah, Moroccan. Wow. Gold gown with thousands of buttons down the front, and yeah,
this is like something
I know. It's just bizarre. I can't believe that it happened. We partied, and Billy got up and sang Over the Rainbow with an orchestra to me, and we had cake and dancing, and it was just wild.
And your daughters were there.
And they were there. That's the best part. I forgot to tell you. As I walked in, the consul came out with Rusty and Lauren on each arm.
Oh, God, your heart must have exploded.
It was, yes. Tears and crying, and yeah. Because I thought, well, I was stuck in Morocco on my own on my 50th birthday.
What an amazing husband you had.
I know. My statement of, what are we going to do in Morocco?
came back to haunt me. Oh, yes. It sounds like it really was an absolute dream holiday.
It was a dream holiday. And I started out in Tangier in the old Casbah in a thousand-year-old riad that we'd had to ourselves, you know, like five stories where you look down from the top story and you can see down to the bottom floor and with servants and... just magic stuff.
So this must have been very inspiring for Billy at the same time, because he wanted to go there for music, didn't he?
It was. And the minute we hit our riad in Morocco, he picked up a guitar. I don't know if it was there or he had it with him. I can't remember. And started playing in the back room. Like he was hearing the music from the minute we got there. And he just loved looking out across the Straits of Gibraltar, which we could see from our place. And he saw himself as a young boy going through the Straits of Gibraltar on his way to Australia when he was a kid.
Of course.
So he could see himself clearly on that ship.
So how did the actual recording of the album begin? It's one thing to be sitting in your back room with a guitar playing,
I know. Well, it went on for, when did the album come out? I can't remember now. 2010. Anyway, it took all that time. And his studio in Sydney, he would go there every day and work on it, and it would change directions, and he was trying new musicians and this and that, and it just went on and on. It was actually, yeah, his opus.
Mm.
I love the album. I mean, it's not finished in his... It wasn't finished in his mind.
Yes, I gathered that.
But it was finished posthumously.
Yes.
You know, and Jack Thompson's added some reading parts.
Born on wings of feathers golden, sunlight dreams a crimson morning, a secret kept, a vow unbroken, the phoenix rises without warning.
In an alternate universe, probably wouldn't have been how the album would have
finished.
No,
it wouldn't have been like that at all. And it's hard to say, but I'm glad it was finished.
Oh, of course.
Orchestra was added. His aim for the whole thing was for it to be played live at the Opera House in Sydney with full orchestra and dancers and the whole thing. And
that would have been spectacular.
I know.
Yeah.
That was the dream.
And sadly, the dream never eventuated.
No, it didn't. It might one day.
It might one day. Nobody expects to die. But what was his general health like? Did it come as a surprise to you?
There had been a little warning a couple of years before, but they couldn't figure out what had happened. He had an off day. He was feeling terribly sick, and he went to hospital, had all kinds of tests, and they said possibly a blood clot had broken up or something, but it was...
Because in the grand scheme of things, he was still fairly young.
Very young, exactly. 60.
Yeah. Australia and maybe some of the world felt as though they'd lost a great musician, a great artist. But you lost not just a husband, you lost somebody you'd been with for many years. It must have left an incredible hole in your life.
Absolutely shocking. It's taken me... trying not to get too emotional.
I can understand if you are.
But, it's taken me this long, 10 years, to work my way out of it. Yeah. So I was devastated.
Totally. Of course you would be. It sounds as though, and without trying to put a flowery thing on all this, you know, people often talk about meeting the special person in their life. It sounds as though you were lucky enough to have met at least one, if not now two, but... And that's a rarity.
Do you think?
Yes, I do think. Mm. I mean, if you look at the number of marriages that make that period of time, it's not a lot. If you could go back and change, go right back to that first day when he walked in and you looked through him, would you change it?
Would I change it? Oh, my goodness. It wasn't always easy, let me tell you that.
Without wanting the details, I can quite believe that.
It wasn't always easy. Mostly the lifestyle, of... the insecurity of the music business. You know, there's never a regular paycheck and there's never a guaranteed anything.
No.
You've got to generate everything yourself, so...
Which for a mother and a wife is always...
It's terrifying and most people couldn't do it, but, yeah.
Do you have a favourite Billy track?
Of all time.
Is there one that you really... or is that just too difficult?
Well, you know, there's rockers and there's ballads.
Exactly,
and,
that's the problem, because Billy's was just off so broad.
Off the Tangier album, I love Fatima, because it's just wild and Billy. It's very Billy.
We'll make sure we finish this interview with the Fatima. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's no easy way to put this. Billy passes away. Probably grieve very heavily, but life has to move on. It can't just stop, because you haven't got your partner anymore. What does life hold for you at that stage? Where do you see yourself going, or is it just one day at a time?
It was one day at a time, and, I thought I was handling it, but looking back on it, I was an absolute mess. Yeah, I just had to go day by day and try and get back on my feet.
One step in front of the other.
Yeah.
Can you look back now and see a period when you think you actually broke through the veil of confusion and pain and actually started seeing Lynn's life again?
Yeah, well, that wasn't very long ago. It took me, I don't know, I just felt, if I start speaking truthfully, I'll cry. I don't want to go too deeply into it.
No, that's fine. So, life at the moment, I look around me, it looks pretty good.
It's good. It's good. We've got a grandchild who sometimes reminds us of that naughty little imp that we used to know.
Oh, how wonderful is that?
He's very funny. Funny little boy.
What's his name?
His name's Sebastian.
Sebastian.
Yes.
Well, he's certainly growing up with quite a legacy.
Isn't he?
Your life now also involves another man and another musician.
It does.
Mick. How did you meet Mick?
Good question. I'm a glutton for punishment, aren't I?
Oh, okay. You're well, musicians get one after another.
I know.
Yes,
what's
you are.
Wrong with me? Well, the funny thing is I met Mick when I was about 16 in Portsea because he was playing at the famous Tomcats in Sorrento. So, you know, obviously all us girls were hanging around the dance because that was the thing to do. And something to look forward to all winter for a little girl stuck down in Portsea. Yeah, so I don't know. We met then and I knew who he was through the bands that he played in the Moods and the Vibrants. And
because for anybody listening again who's had their head buried in the sand for many years, Mick is a very accomplished musician in his own right.
Yes, he is. A guitar player extraordinaire.
Yes, part of many really notable Australian groups.
Yes, he is. Yeah, so when I moved to Melbourne, I went out with Mick a couple of times. He took me to a wedding and to a film and to this and that, but we weren't boyfriend and girlfriend or anything. We just casual go out every now and again. And then I didn't see him for the whole time I was married to Billy. Saw him once in LA when he came to stay with John Farrar, passing through on his way to one of his worldly adventures into South America or somewhere. Yes, I didn't know anything of Mick until he called me after Billy died to see how I was doing. And I wasn't doing very well. So he started sending me books to read. And then he came to take me to see an author that he'd been sending me books of, and I can't remember his name now. We went out to see the author, and then we had a nice time, and then he came back to Sydney again a few, I don't know, it was months or weeks later, and we went for lunch. And then we talked on the phone and da-da-da, and it was nice.
Very, very interesting. As you said, it was very nice. Your face actually lit up then. It's as if it's like a different phase of your life, and it's a very pleasant phase.
It is a pleasant phase, and he has done so much to lift me out of the morass I was in.
It sounded like the right person at the right time.
It does, and I think he was sent.
Because you're still a young woman.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I'm in the Older Voices radio show.
Hey, again, short of that bus hitting one of us down the road there, we've still got another 20 to 30 years life.
It feels like that, doesn't it?
It does, but we do. We can live for another 20 to 30 years.
Right.
You know, a lot of things can happen in that time, so we've still got things to do.
We do.
What do you still have to do?
What do I have to do?
What do you want to do?
That's a good thing. I don't know. I'd like to do something artistic, and I don't. I've done the book, but I'd like to do something with my photographs. People tell me they love my photographs, so I'd like to do something with that. And mostly I just want to be with my grandson. I just love him to death.
Do you get to see him enough?
I do, all the time. All the time. He lives just down the road.
Oh, great.
He used to live in Sydney and I had to get in my car and drive 10 hours to see him, but he's now 10 minutes, not 10 hours away.
So what sort of things do you like doing with him?
Oh, we go to the park. He plays rough and tumble with me and, you know, we play ball because I'm still sporty, even though I'm getting to the senior age. We kick footballs and do all sorts of things.
What about other things? Do you garden? Do you?
Oh, not really. I can kill most plants if you give me one. But
achievement.
More of a yard person. I don't mind sweeping up the leaves and doing all that, but I'm not very good at propagating.
What about music? It's played such an incredibly important part of your life. Does it still play a part?
I still love it. I don't know what sort of role it plays these days. Mick still plays. I mean, we go and see people play. And
so, okay, well, that was part of it. You're still getting out to...
Yeah,
to...
we still go and see people play. We still go to concerts. I saw Elvis last week.
Yes, so I believe he was in fine form.
Yes. Yeah, I still love music. That won't change.
So then for the future for you, is it still one day at a time, or do you have some... You've mentioned, you know, your photographs, and you have written an amazing book. No desire to write another one? Because it was a great book. Or did that get out of your system?
No, it didn't. I didn't write much for that book. It was more a compilation. I added little bits here and there because at the time I wrote that book or compiled that book, I was still under that big black cloud. Mm. So I'd probably write a very different book these days. So I think about that.
You do think about it?
I will
you
think
will
about
think
that.
About it.
Yeah.
Because one of the roles this program plays is not just entertainment through stories, but it is about helping to document people's
exactly.
lives and events and
yeah.
things like that. Maybe the time will come when it is time to sit down and think about giving some clear documentation.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
you've witnessed and seen a lot of things in terms of the music industry.
I have.
People and things.
Yeah,
yeah.
I have. I suppose I have.
And those stories do hardly ever get documented.
No. Well, I think Mick's the one that should write something. He's got... Or at least have a radio, historical radio show or something. He's got so much knowledge in his head.
He does, yes. But you've experienced a lot of things and hopefully you will have gained some wisdom out of all of this. How do you see your experiences of growing up compared to what's happening today with kids? Is there much of a difference in your mind?
Well, I think only technologically. We grew up before television.
That's
it sounds
right.
like horse and cart days, doesn't it?
It was.
Well, it probably was. The milk was still
That's
being
right.
delivered
and
by horse
baker.
And cart
That's right.
and the baker. Well, yes, obviously it's been light years, leaps in technology. But nothing can beat the freedom we had when we were kids. They just don't have it anymore.
Do you fear for the future for your grandson?
I fear for the foolishness of our politicians in looking after the earth. They're not doing a very good job at that. But I have great faith in the young generation. I think by the time all these old, flinty, you know, hard-hearted, money-focused generation dies out, the better, you know. There has to be a kinder, more thoughtful world out there. Somewhere. And I have faith in the young people. I think they have the potential.
Do they need encouragement, or do you think that that's going to come anyway, that they'll just find their own way?
They probably will be encouraged by how stupid the older generation is.
Oh, well, then there's no lack of encouragement out there.
They'll look at them and go, God, we don't want that. Please.
Did not our generation, the baby boomers, do similar things?
We did. I think we changed a lot of things, attitude-wise and freedom-wise, but I can't put it into words, like with a conservative hold on the globe around money and profit and all of that is going to be very hard to break.
Mm, that's certainly something that seems to have grown since our generation was born, hasn't it? I mean,
it seems to have, or we've just become more aware of it.
It's hard to tell which.
Yeah. I think it's always been thus. You know, the world is just wild. You can't really control it. You might think you can change it, but can you?
Well, that's a very good question, isn't it? And only history could probably answer that.
Yeah.
You know, it's always very hard to judge what's happening around you at the time you're involved in it. I guess our kids will judge us.
Well,
us.
They already do judge the baby boomers as we... I don't know. What have we done? They're always accusing us of doing dreadful things. We tried.
We tried. Indeed. And without wanting to pat ourselves on the back too much, we really did have a lot to break through, didn't we? Because the generations before us were very, very conservative, and for all sorts of reasons. I mean, most of it grew out of the Victorian era, but and then there was the Great Depression and the war years, so things were always tough. Were you glad to be born in the period you were born?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, well, am I glad to be born? I didn't have much choice in that.
Were you glad that the...
Oh,
do you think
so.
This generation?
I think so. We were right on that cusp of the big change. Quite exciting to be a teenager in those days, don't you think?
Oh, I totally agree. Totally agree.
But maybe it's exciting to be a teenager in any age, because you're a teenager.
Yeah, because you're a teenager. If you could speak to future generations...
Good heavens, I'm not Methuselah.
No, but if you could, if we had some way of you saying something to them, what would you want to say to them? What message?
To future generations?
Yeah.
Oh, I just tell them to look after each other and look after this planet.
That needs it, doesn't it?
Certainly does.
That might be a good place for us to finish. Lynn, it's been a wonderful period sitting here talking with you, and we've touched upon some fairly emotional things, but also you've smiled a lot.
Have I?
You have.
Oh, good.
Thank you very much for being on the program.
It's my pleasure, Rob.
To the street.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Community Radio Network.